Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
This generation, they are known to be people who are more tolerant than their parents.
Generation X may be shallow, but at least they have tolerance and respect for all people.
They think you're judging them if you have absolute truth.
You want the truth?
Yes, please.
You want the truth?
I can't wait.
You can handle the truth!
I'm Jim Burns. Well, it's not easy being a young person today, and many kids I know are filled with hope about the future and their faith, and yet, at the same time, this is the generation of kids who are facing challenges to their morals and to their values that we parents could never even have imagined. One of the biggest challenges facing kids today, it's the attitude of indifference when it comes to absolute truth. The media tells young people that everything is morally relative, and as a result, some kids adopt a whatever attitude that keeps them from experiencing absolute truth. Well, on today's edition of Homeward, we're going to talk about some practical ways for parents to inspire our children to rise above the cultural norm in this area. As a parent, if you're worried that your kids are being too tolerant and don't have a biblical worldview, well, youth expert Sean McDowell is with me here in studio, and we're going to discuss raising bold kids in a whatever world. So stay with us, a very important message today. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to see for yourself what APU's undergraduate experience is like, you can visit apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say, or you can send me an email at roger@homeward.com. I'll be happy to share my experiences as a degree completion program student in the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership program at APU. Doing that all online, by the way, so wherever you are, throughout the country, you can get involved in that program as well. Today on the broadcast, we're going to take a look at raising bold kids in a whatever world. Kids have this kind of interesting worldview these days, and author and speaker Sean McDowell, who teaches biblical worldview at a local Christian school here in Southern California, is with us for this conversation. Now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. I'm smiling today because we have Sean McDowell. Very excited to have him on the program. First time. Raising bold kids in a whatever world. That's what we're talking about today. He's written a wonderful book called Ethics. That's E-T-H-I-X, being bold in a whatever world. Sean is the head of a Bible department at a wonderful school called Capo Valley Christian School right here in San Juan Capistrano, where our studios are. He also heads up the teen track of Worldview Weekends, which are Bible conferences that provide quality Bible teaching to teens all throughout the United States. He's married to Stephanie, and they have two children. They live in Southern California. Welcome.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Well, we've wanted you here for a long time, and we finally got you. I'm excited. Biblical worldview. I mean, one of the things we talk about here is that we are concerned about the fact that so many kids do not have a biblical worldview, who even were raised in the church. And yet, it's not exactly easy in today's culture. Kind of give us a little bit of a rundown on what you're seeing, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly in youth culture today.
When it comes to this generation, I would really call them Generation Hope. I see a lot of promise. I see a lot of hope in this generation. I see kids that want to make a difference. But I also believe that this generation are facing some of the deepest moral and intellectual challenges of any generation to date.
I wouldn't want to be their age.
Yeah, I look back at my students and I just think, thank God I wasn't going through my formative years with the challenges that they have to face.
Right.
And the concern is when you talk about a biblical worldview, Barna would say that only 9% of adults have a biblical worldview. Teenagers, it's between 2 and 3%. Now, what do we mean by a worldview? A worldview, in one sense, is simply a view of the world. It's how we see reality. It's like a mental map of the world. Just like we have a physical map if we go on MapQuest to go somewhere, we have a mental map about what is good, about success, about sexuality, about ethical decisions that our kids make. And the way we see the world shapes the way that we live. And when it comes to the body of Christ, the reason this matters so much is studies show that Christians, at least people who call themselves born-again Christians, live no differently than the rest of the world. They don't live any differently, whether cheating on their taxes, whether cheating on their wife, whatever it is. They don't live differently, but there's a segment of born-again Christians who live differently, and it's those with a biblical worldview. So I think what that means is that if we care about the choices that our kids make, we care about them being healthy, we have to build relationships with them, but we have to focus on helping kids see the world from a biblical perspective.
Now, this is tough because, you know, there's many people who are listening who, you know, their kids are in youth groups or their kids go to a Christian school, like the great Christian school that you work with, but their kids don't buy into this biblical worldview, and they've kind of done it all right. I mean, they've said, okay, we're going to go to church, we're going to pray, you know, around the table and all these things, and yet their kids are arguing with them about some of the types of ethical issues that really go in contradiction to the Bible. What do you say to that person when you see their kids doing that?
Well, from one sense, the church has such an incredibly difficult task because they get kids, what, 45 minutes per week, maybe on a Wednesday night, maybe on a Sunday morning, and then our kids are watching TV, they're on the internet, they're in, most of them in secular schools and getting tossed this biblical worldview. So no wonder there's a sense of resistance on the part of young kids. But I would say this, I would say as parents, it's easy to kind of give up. And as kids fight back, we just think, oh my goodness, my kids don't have a clue and they don't care and they don't want to engage in these ideas. But I think that's not true. My experience has been, I think studies show that in the context of a relationship, when we take the time to get to know our kids and really enter in their world, they are open and amenable to discussions about whether it's ethical issues or about politics or about issues of the day that are shaping the way kids are living.
Well, this generation that you talk about, Generation Hope, I love how you say that, they are known to be people who are more tolerant than a previous generation and definitely more tolerant than their parents. They think you're judging them if you have absolute truth. I remember reading in your book, Ethics, you were speaking at something and a girl all of a sudden screams out, you know what? Who are you to judge?
Yeah.
Well, in some ways, that's the mantra of this generation. How do we help them see that we can be loving and act in love, and yet at the same time, we have to put the truth in front of them?
I would say a couple things. As far as the who are we to judge generation, that's why the subtitle of my book is Being Bold in a Whatever World. Yeah. There's really this attitude that when it comes to issues of morality, maybe religion, kind of anything goes, whatever, it doesn't matter. So I found a couple ways to get kids to think about this is, especially when a kid says there's no such thing as moral absolute truth. They might say that, but kids don't really believe that. They're made in the image of God, like it says in Romans 1 and 2, that our conscience is written on our hearts. So they'll be quick to say that. But when I push back on young people and I go, really? There's no such thing as moral truth? What about a guy who takes a girl and just completely lies to her and gets her in bed, and then the next day just dumps her and uses her and speaks behind her back? Do you think there's anything wrong with that? Well, most kids will say, yeah, maybe there is. So I try, when I hear that from young people, I try to take examples that'll get them to think and go, no, wait a minute, maybe there is such a thing as morality, and try to prod down into some of those deeper issues.
That's a great point. You actually tell a great story. I want you to tell it on the air. J.P. Moreland, a professor of yours, incredible guy, actually stole a stereo from some guy. Tell that story.
Well, this is one of my favorite stories. J.P. Moreland is a professor up at Biola, and he was on Campus Crusade for Christ for a number of years, and he was at the University of Vermont. And as Campus Crusade for Christ, they would go into college classrooms, and they would share their faith. And the four spiritual laws basically says there's an absolute moral law. We've broken it. Jesus paid the price, and we need to follow it. So he's sharing the four spiritual laws, and this guy goes, well, that's just true for you. I have a different truth. There's no absolute truth that applies to everybody. So J.P. Moreland walks towards the corner, picks up this guy's stereo, and goes taking off down the hall. Well, of course, this guy goes running after him. He says, wait a minute, you can't do that. He says, that's mine. And JP turns at him and he says, well, wait a minute. He says, I happen to have the moral value that says if you're an upperclassman and you need to work out and you see a freshman who has a stereo you want, that you have the morality to go in and take that stereo and leave. That's my morality. Certainly, you're not going to force your morality upon me. Now, this kid was in a bind, because he had just said 2 seconds ago, there's no such thing as moral truth. Yet when pressed, he realized he couldn't live differently. And what this really shows is something that my dad has taught me, and it's so true, is we don't know what people believe by what they say or even by what they do, but by how they want to be treated. Everybody wants to be treated as if fairness, as if justice, as if right and wrong are real parts of the universe. I mean, even my students, if I tell them a test is on Wednesday and I show up Tuesday and say, surprise, it's today, ha, 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 they'll be upset and they'll say that's wrong because they think we should keep our promises. So a lot of this mantra we hear in culture today about how all truth is relative and you have your truth and I have mine, kids have been conditioned by our culture to believe that. But I don't think they really believe it because they're made in the image of God. And when we get down to the issues, they'll admit it and recognize that truth.
But a lot of people are still saying, I mean, there is no truth. What's true for you may not be true for me.
Well, you know, people will say that. They won't say it about math. You don't have a kid in a math or science class go, well, 2 + 2 = 4. That's true for you, but not true for me. George Washington, first president of the United States. That's true for you, but not true for me. But they might say that about issues of morality, and they might say that about issues of religion. Because we live in a secular culture that says there's no such thing as knowledge. We can't know things about religion. We can't know things about morality. So what happens in the mind of a young person is they've been trained by the culture that we live in to take their religious convictions, to take their moral convictions and compartmentalize them so they don't affect the way they live. They don't really affect the way they see the world. They're just something that's important to me in my spiritual life, but they don't really affect all of the rest of my life. So when kids say that, one of the things that I do, I go, really? So you're telling me that something can be true for you, but not true for me? I said, explain that. And as we start to just talk it through and I ask them questions, even kids will realize that either abortion is the taking of an innocent human life, or it's just the tissue inside the body. Either Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, or he didn't. These are objective claims about reality. So I think kids will say that because they've been taught by our culture to say those things. But when we get below the surface, I don't think they really believe
it. No, and I appreciate that. And what's good about it is kids have to learn to critically think. And sometimes parents will shut them down because they'll lecture and say, no, it's supposed to be this way. And really, kids learn best when they talk. And so as parents, we've got to sometimes bring that out of them. Good, good stuff. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. The book is called Ethics. Sean McDowell with us.
And the subtitle there is Being Bold in a Whatever World. And if you see kids and they kind of have that attitude, there's something they don't like. How often do they dismiss it by saying, whatever? Well, unfortunately, those are the values that a lot of kids are taking into the adult years. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're hearing this conversation with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, talking with author and youth Bible teacher, biblical worldview scholar Sean McDowell, talking about raising bold kids in a whatever world. If you're looking for resources that can help you be more confident in your parenting of these types of kids, a couple of books. I think of Jim's book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. Also, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. Those are just two of the many titles available to you when you go to homeward.com. And if you purchase any of Jim's books directly from our online resource center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the ministry of Homeward, and we are grateful for that financial support. So contact us online at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
The word for the day is authenticity. This is Jim Burns of Homeward with Real Life Answers. I'm finding that this generation is crying out for integrity and authenticity. Well, that can be sobering news for the church because many studies at the same time are telling us that authentic Christianity is at an all-time low. Here's what that means. If you say, I believe in Jesus, well, there should be a difference between your life and someone who doesn't believe. As followers of Jesus, you should not always blend in totally to the culture. You'll see that in the way we conduct our businesses, how we treat our spouses, and frankly, how we raise our children. The Bible says that an authentic Christian loves and obeys the Word of God. It's what being authentic is all about. I love what the Apostle John wrote at the end of his life. He said, little children, do not love with words or with your tongue, but love in deed, in action, in truth. In other words, actions speak louder than words. With Real Life Answers, I'm Jim Burns of Homeward.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Sean McDowell, Raising Bold Kids in a Whatever World. Roger just told you about his book, Ethics. It's a book for kids, and it's an excellent book. And you know what? We've got to get our kids thinking about a biblical worldview. And you know what? It's not the job only of the church. It's definitely not the job of the school. It's our job as parents to help kids make those decisions. You know, studies show that anywhere from 65 to 80% of church kids will walk away from their faith, or at least walk away from the church for a while right after high school. But you know what, parents? You play a vital role in changing those numbers, and that's what we're really talking about today. Sean McDowell is the head of the Bible department, teaches philosophy and literature at Capistrano Valley Christian High School here in San Juan Capistrano, right where our studios are. He also heads up Teen Track of Worldview Weekends, which is a conference that provides quality Bible teaching to teens all throughout the U.S. By the way, we'll have a link today on our site to Sean's site, and you can kind of get more information on that. He's married to Stephanie. They have two children. They live right here in Southern California. His dad is a pretty well-known guy, Josh McDowell. I can remember when you were very young and your dad and I'd be speaking at things and you were kind of running around with your dad, sort of kind of helping him out. And now here you are speaking to audiences yourself, doing a great job.
Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a treat. My dad speaks highly of you frequently.
Yeah. Well, I have great admiration and respect for him. You know, we were talking about truth and this, and sometimes people can say, boy, this seems so heady. But, you know, the problem is that most of this, what you're calling Generation Hope, most of these kids are tolerant, overly tolerant. You know, I see this, my daughters went to Christian school. They went to a public school. Two of them went to Christian colleges. And yet I find that their entire generation could be almost summed up with tolerance. And yet they're loving. They want to have the Bible, but they sometimes are too tolerant with some of the issues of truth. A parent comes to you and says, my kids are great kids, but they just don't believe that everybody has to believe this one way, and they're just too tolerant. What do you say to them?
Well, I think you're right that this generation is deeply confused about tolerance and deeply confused about love. I think we've bought the idea that love means just accepting anybody's lifestyle and not condemning them, not criticizing them, whatever topic that may be. That's what we've been told. Whereas one of the things I'll talk with kids, I'll go, really, if you love somebody, doesn't that mean saying the difficult thing that will help them do what's right in their life? I mean, don't you agree that if somebody loves somebody, they would speak truth into their life? And I think about my roommate in college, who was my co-captain on the basketball team. He told me specifically his senior year, he kind of wrote off school and just dropped out and didn't care anymore. And later he told me, said, you know, when you saw me doing this stuff, I wish you had just kind of spoken in and said, what are you doing? Now, that would have been a loving thing to do. And I think this tolerance in our culture that you're talking about just hammers our kids, that says all values are equal, but they're not. There's some damaging choices. And you talk about why truth matters. I mean, truth has consequences. And that's what I think I speak to my students all the time, that truth has consequences and love means speaking the truth.
Now, we've been kind of taking the 10,000 foot level. And in the next segment, we're going to, you know, kind of center in on sexuality and on drug and alcohol abuse and some other issues. But I want to just bring up a phrase, and I want you to kind of give me quick shots when it comes to how do we talk to our kids about these issues. Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, it's okay to do everything but have sexual intercourse because the Bible only says don't have sexual intercourse. What do you say to a kid?
My first question is, how did you come to that conclusion? Why do you believe that everything is okay except sexual intercourse? And let them defend that a little bit. Second, on the question of how far is too far, which is the number one question I get. If I had a dollar, and I know you did, every time I got asked, I would be rich. I think a great principle is Philippians 4:8. And it says, and this is my paraphrase, it says, you know, basically do everything in love and kindness and purity of heart. And I'll say to students, I'll say, look at this. I said, can you do X and fill in the blank on some sexual act that they're referring to? I said, can you do this in purity and honesty and reverence before God? And most students will honestly admit that there's a pretty clear line that can't be passed.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to throw another one at you. It's okay for me to drink as long as I don't get drunk, even though I'm 16 years old.
I would say again to students, I'd say, what makes you think that it's okay? Why do you think you're mature enough to handle alcohol at 16 years old when it's one of the number one killers in our country that adults can't handle? I would say, let me ask you something. I said, how do you know that you can stop with one or two beers or whatever it is and not get drunk? And I'd say, because by the way, I know a lot of graduates who have told me that. In fact, I talked to a student about 3 weeks ago, graduated from a Christian high school. And he said, oh, I can take a whole bunch of beers. I'm in control. And he ended up getting arrested and driving drunk and destroying his life. So I'd say, can you tell me with confidence how you know that's actually going to happen? And if they're being honest, they'll admit that they don't have as much control in their life. And I think what we'll find is kids will say these type of things because they just want to justify it, which tells a lot about where their hearts are at.
Yeah, no, that's right. A kid comes up to you and says, now I'm pro-life, but my friend got an abortion. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I say, so if you're pro-life, you believe that human life begins at conception. So why does it matter who the parent is if this is a human being that's made in the image of God? Why does it matter whose parent it is? That's still a human being that deserves value. In fact, and as a friend, if you have somebody who's considering killing somebody and it's really a human being, don't we have somewhat of the responsibility to talk to them and try to help them make the right decision?
That's great. And, you know, I think it's important, again, and you've done this so well, because when we're talking with our children or other kids, it seems to me that it's so important to get them thinking. And that's exactly what you're doing, kind of throwing it back at them. We don't have much time left, but one of the things that happens on the Homeward website so often is that people will come and say, I want to build a legacy of faith. And I want our kids to have a legacy of faith. And today, because of what's going on with truth and what's going on with tolerance and all the things we've been talking about, we're having trouble helping our kids grow in their faith and stay grounded. Again, big question, but how do you help a family who's not really doing it so well? How do you help them really help their kids build this legacy of faith?
First off, I would say to pass a biblical worldview on a kid, you've got to develop it yourself. So are those parents reading scripture? Are they reading books to learn about politics and about science from a biblical perspective? Second, don't give up. Every parent I know is asking those difficult questions. We might think our kids aren't hearing it, but they are listening. Third, there was a study from Fuller Seminary called the College Transition Project, and they said, what's the most significant thing parents can do to help their kids on to college and maintain their faith? They said conversations about worldview topics. Asking questions, listening, spending time in a non-judgmental way, they say that's one of the most significant things that parents do. Most of us are too busy. Plan in time and be intentional about it, and that's a big difference parents can make in the lives of their kids.
Boy, that is great.
Boy, it is great, and especially anytime we hear the word intentional or intentionality when it comes to parents and kids, we really need to pay attention to that. And our thanks to Sean McDowell for being with us today here on the Homeward Broadcast. This is part one of a two-part conversation on raising bold kids in a whatever world. Sean is the author of the book called Ethics, and if you'd like more information on that, just drop us a line here at Homeward, HOMEWORD.com. You can also call us at 800-397-9725. Jim, this is a conversation that parents need to have with kids. It's a topic that's so very, very important for kids to understand, especially now as we are, you know, looking at new seasons in politics and worldview. We parents have to be intentional here.
I think it's important that parents in the home have what I like to call faith conversations. And I think sometimes that means to a lot of parents, well, then I've got to lecture to them, or I've got to take out the Bible and I've got to, you know, say in the Greek and in the Hebrew it means. I don't think that's the case. I think we have to find spontaneous ways to have good conversations with our kids and really help them build what we were talking about today in terms of a biblical worldview. So many kids today need us to kind of lead them when it comes to morals and values, not only lead them in terms of the way we live. You can't ask your kids to do something that you're not willing to
right.
go there to.
Right.
But we have to be able to say, look, here's the television show that we were just watching. What do you think about that guy and that girl hooking up on their first date? And then begin, instead of being negative about it, having a positive conversation about positive role models and helping kids really begin to develop this biblical worldview. Why I'm calling it faith conversations is because I think sometimes you say, hey, what do you think the Bible would say to something like that? And then you let them go back and forth. You know, our children are growing up in a culture that really doesn't reflect Christian values anymore. And I'm not trying to sound angry and I'm not trying to sound mean, but it is just a fact. We have to be absolutely intentional about pointing our kids in the direction that God wants them to go when it comes to this important issue.
Boy, it certainly is an important issue, Jim. And I know you write about this in your book, Faith Conversations for Families. If you're a parent who has a hard time putting family devotions together because, quite frankly, you don't think, well, I'm not a Bible teacher. What am I supposed to do here? This is a great resource to have. Your kids will not run from you either when you start doing family devotions, because you'll have these faith conversations, and it's amazing how you'll start to hear your kids mimic what they're hearing in these conversations and really living this out. Now, the book Faith Conversations for Families is available for purchase anywhere, but it's also available for purchase in our Homeward Online Resource Center. And if you do purchase the book Faith Conversations for Families from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we would love to hear from you. You can call 800-397-9725 or write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.